Orville Freestone Jr., Sunday PM, February 13th, 2011.
So turn to the fourth chapter of Romans. And we'll continue in the section of Romans on justification. Last week we considered 11 different words. We considered 9 of them last week, although we mentioned them all. Righteousness, faith, justified, grace, redemption, propitiation, remission, reckoned, counted, yield, and identification. We're going to take up some more of those words this evening. But in the 20th verse of the third chapter, Paul finishes his section on all mankind is under the judgment of God by showing that the religious Jews were no better in the presence of God than the Gentiles. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the deeds of the law is the knowledge of sin. Now this, of course, is the religious Jews who trusted in their religion to be saved. There were Jews who had faith in the Old Testament, who were justified the same as we are today, as we shall see in this next chapter. And then in the 27th verse of the third chapter, we see Paul writes, "Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." And then one more thing to notice in this third chapter before moving on is in the 21st verse we read, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." So moving into the fourth chapter, Paul calls one witness from the law and one witness from the prophets. And he does not call for a witness Moses and the Ten Commandments, and he does not refer to any in the books of the prophets so called. What shall we say then? That Abraham, our father, pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So we'll turn back to the law, and we'll read that in context. In the 15th chapter of Genesis, where Abraham is expostulating with the Lord about his not having received the promise of a son as yet. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of Damascus, as the steward of my house, this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in mine house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward the heavens, and tell the stars, and if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he, Abram, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he believed in the Lord, having not yet received the promise. And he believed in the Lord before giving of the law of Moses. But this is a witness from the law, because Genesis was one of the books of the law, or of the Torah. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. This word, counted, is one of those 11 words. And in verse 8, we'll read the word imputed. Now, the English words to count and to compute, to impute, have the same meaning in this context. Well, of course, counted has many other meanings, but counted and imputed both translate the same Greek word, and it, as these, were words of business. If you have a paycheck from a company and you take it to the bank and deposit it, the bank imputes the amount of that check to your account. Or it counts it in your favor, and that is an accounting act. So here the word counted means to credit to an account. Impute means to credit to an account. So Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him in the books of God's accounts in heaven for righteousness. That is, his faith was accounted for righteousness. And this was before the giving of the law of Moses. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned, but of, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, as we read in the last week, his faith is counted or imputed for righteousness. In the book of God's accounts in heaven, he's imputed for righteousness. There's an old gospel song we sometimes sing. The old account was settled long ago. That's the account of sin. And we'll see that sin is not imputed to him that believes. That is as to the penalty of sin. Now we'll come to freedom from the power of sin in the next section, but this has to do with the penalty of sin. And now he calls his second witness, one from the prophets. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not impute sin. And this is a quotation from the 32nd Psalm. So turning to the 32nd Psalm, we read in verse 1, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." And this is a testimony from the prophets, because in the second chapter of Acts, Peter, in delivering his Pentecostal sermon, said, "Men, brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, and seeing this before, as a prophet, spake of the resurrection of Christ." So David is counted as among the prophets, and the Psalms are credited as being the prophetic writings. Now the word blessed, as I'm sure you've heard often, has two meanings. It means, that is the words translated blessed in both, in all Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. One is blessed. The other is happy. So we can read it this way. Happy are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Excuse me. Happy is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Now, under the Old Testament, the blood of the sacrifices of the Israelites did not forgive sins. They covered the sins, and especially the great sacrifice on the day of Yom Kippur, that is the Day of Atonement. And that very word, Kippur, atonement, in Hebrew means covered. Covered from sight. So their sins were covered but not atoned in the sense of forgiveness under the old covenant. But in faith, looking forward to the promise of God, that was credited to them or imputed to them for righteousness. But I want you to notice here that on the basis of faith, sins are forgiven and are covered. They are not covered up. And those who would cover up their sins will find them very uncovered, even in this life, to the view of the whole wide world, as we've seen many different examples in just recent years. And I like this next phrase in the next verse. The state of happiness that we stand in by faith is called this blessedness. We stand in a state of blessedness. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision, that is the Jews only, or upon the uncircumcision, the Gentiles also? A very pertinent question for this Jewish apostle to ask, especially to Jewish hearers, for they expected a Redeemer for Israel. They expected sins to be forgiven for the Jews. Now, the Gentiles, that was a whole different matter. And as we read in the book of Acts about Peter's trip to the house of Cornelius, how he said, under the law, it is unlawful for me to even come under your roof. But God has showed me. And so this blessedness then comes upon the Jews and the Gentiles alike by faith. For we say that faith was reckoned or imputed or accounted. Now there are three words that all mean the same thing here that are the King James translators and English writers and speakers in general don't like to repeat words over and over. We love synonyms. This is not true in either Greek or Hebrew, but in the King James we have now here, for we say that faith was reckoned, that is, imputed to Abraham for righteousness. And again, turning to that 15th chapter of Genesis, we read that statement again. And he believed in the Lord, that is, he trusted in the Lord, and he accounted it to him or imputed it to him for righteousness, that is, his faith. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. For Abraham was not circumcised for, probably nearly 50 years after this time. For Abraham was 60 years old when God called him to leave the land of Ur. He was 100 years old when Isaac was born. And he waited that long, 40 years, just for the birth of his son. So if you've prayed for many years and the Lord hasn't answered you yet, keep faith. But how is it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of righteousness of the faith which he already had, being yet uncircumcised. And the Jews came to hold circumcision to be something to boast in and to boast against the Gentiles. But Paul elsewhere shows that to be circumcised was not boasted in, but it was an obligation. It obligated them under the law. And he received the sign of circumcision as the seal of the righteousness of faith which he had, being yet uncircumcised. So this was the seal of the faith that he had, just like we claim against many other Christians that baptism is the sign or the seal of our faith that we already have. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, not of the circumcised, that the righteous though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And this is a statement that was anathema to the Jews, even to many believing Jews, as James mentions in the later chapters of the Acts. But that the righteousness should extend to the Gentiles on the same basis was of the heart of Paul's message, and it was something that he insisted upon in all his writings. And that he should be the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also who walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. All who walk in the steps of Abraham have, it is because they have this righteousness imputed unto them. But what are the steps of Abraham's faith? Now, we can't walk in his steps, the steps of his life, and that isn't even suggested. But what are the steps of his faith that we must walk in? In the 12th chapter of Genesis, God told Abraham, "Get thee out of thy country." And he got out. We read that he departed. So the first step of his faith is he believed the word of God. He believed what God told him. And the next step of his faith is in that 15th chapter of Genesis that we read. He believed in the Lord. That is, he put his trust, his faith in the Lord. And the third step of his faith is when God said, "Go," he went. He obeyed God. And the fourth step of his faith is that he worshiped God publicly. Every place Abraham went, excepting to Egypt, he built an altar to the Lord. And these were open-air altars. He very publicly worshiped God Most High. So the steps of his faith was he believed God's word. And on that basis, he put his trust in God. And he obeyed God's word. He acted upon it. And he worshiped God. He trusted in God. And then the next step of faith is, my wife says, don't end on a negative spot, but this story does, but in a positive way. Like us, his faith failed him. Twice that we have a record of, he lied and put his wife in peril by saying that she was his sister, which she was, rather than his wife, which she was. And even the ungodly Philistine and the ungodly Pharaoh chided him for that. But he recovered from his failure. He became known as the man of faith. and as the friend of God, and as a father of all those who have faith. So those are the steps of Abraham that he took because of the faith that he had. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham nor to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith, and was a promise assured to him 400 years before the giving of Moses' law. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where there is no law is, there is no transgression. Montana, until recent years, had no speed limit law. Legally, you could drive 100 miles an hour in Montana. It was a stupid, foolish thing to do, but many people did it, and they died. But it wasn't illegal for him to do that. And that's what he's saying here. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be of grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, so that not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee the father of many nations. To the Jews, that Abraham would be the father of Gentile believers was preposterous. But Paul, again, quoting from the law, the Torah, says the promise given to Abraham was that he should be the father of many nations. And this was Paul's application of that scripture. As it is written, I've made thee the father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. He quickened the dead bodies of Abraham and Sarah to give birth to Isaac. And he called those things that be not. We are justified as though they were, and that they became. Who against all, who quickened the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were, who against hope, this is Abraham and Sarah, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. There are many believers who are weak in the faith. Let us put our full confidence in him and in the promise, that we become strong in the faith by being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform. Therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. And that is exactly the reason why. Several nights ago, when Brother Crook was baptizing some children and one adult, he asked them that question: do you believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and that he died for our sins? And this is the basis of that justification. So in this fourth chapter of Romans, Paul says that both the law and the prophets witness to justification by faith. And he defines justification as apart from works of the law, apart from ordinances, circumcision or baptism, and apart from the law, so it can be freely given by grace. And righteousness is imputed to believers. Sin is not imputed to believers. And after one more chapter, we shall see that righteousness is not only imputed, credited to our account on the books of God in heaven, but it is also imparted to us, and that is what your Christian life is all about. Now, I've often heard justification explained this way: just as if I'd never sinned. That's not true. It's not just as if I'd never sinned, because that would only put us back on the level of Adam and on probation as Adam was. But as we shall see in the next chapter, it is five times much more than that. And we'll take that up next time.